Lesson 13, People 2. Part A, Listen, Write, and Speak.
Exercise 1. Listen to the passage and choose the best answer to each of the following questions.
Man has been a distinct species of mammal for at least 300,000 years. Today, he is the dominant organism over most areas of the earth, and the total population is more than 5,700 million. This number is at present increasing by about 60 million every year. And if this rate of increase continues, then by the year 2020, there will be about 7,800 million people on Earth. Unfortunately, man is quickly damaging and destroying large parts of the ecosystem. But like all other organisms, man is completely dependent upon the flow of energy through the ecosystem and upon the continuous recycling of nutrients within the ecosystem. Two of the reasons for man's success are his lack of special adaptations for life in a narrow range of conditions and his ability to modify his environment so that life becomes easier and less dangerous. The individual can adapt himself to life in many different places with a different climate, different food, and different problems of survival. He can change his environment by building houses, by lighting fires, and by wearing clothes, and in many other ways. Because he is so adaptable and so easily able to modify the environment, man has been able to spread himself through most areas of the land surface of his world. The need to produce or catch more and more food leads man to change and destroy more and more parts of the ecosystem. Thus, forests are cut down and replaced by food plants. Food chains are disturbed by too much hunting, and the habitats of many organisms disappear. In some cases, the population of a species becomes so reduced that there is a real danger of extinction. For example, in the last 50 years, well over 100 species of birds and mammals have become extinct. And at present, at least 100 species of mammals alone are seriously threatened by extinction. Man also affects the ecosystem by replacing large areas that contain living communities with towns and cities, which contain relatively little life. Doing this also involves using up many natural resources, very frequently, without in any way replacing them. For example, when man cuts down trees to obtain wood to use as fuel or to make furniture or paper, he not only damages or destroys a complex living community of organisms, but also removes from the nutrient cycles many types of nutrient. In fact, man seems to be the only organism which can do permanent damage to the ecosystem. He is certainly the only one whose waste products affect the environment.
Exercise 2. Listen to the following part of the passage twice and complete the answers to the given question.
Two of the reasons for man's success are his lack of special adaptations for life in a narrow range of conditions and his ability to modify his environment so that life becomes easier and less dangerous. The individual can adapt himself to life in many different places with a different climate, different food, and different problems of survival. He can change his environment by building houses, by lighting fires, and by wearing clothes, and in many other ways. Because he is so adaptable and so easily able to modify the environment, man has been able to spread himself through most areas of the land surface of his world.
Now, listen again. Part B. Listen and relax.
Directions. Here is a short poem for you to enjoy. It is entitled Autumn, written by the American poet Emily Dickinson. The morns are meeker than they were. The nuts are getting brown. The berry's cheek is plumper. The rose is out of town. The maple wears a gayer scarf. The field a scarlet gown. Lest I should be old-fashioned, I'll put a trinket on.
Part C. Further listening.
Directions. You are going to hear a short passage once. Listen carefully and choose the best answer to each question you hear.
Would you give one of your kidneys to your best friend? It seems the ultimate act of friendship. Yet studies have shown that at least half of all transplant physicians disapprove of the practice. Most transplant centers forbid it, accepting only living donors who are related to the patient. It is not fear of tissue rejection or some other biological concern that bothers these physicians. According to several surveys, transplant doctors suspect the motivation and mental health of unrelated donors. Curiously enough, this point of view on friendship is not supported by the American public or by physicians in other fields. The vast majority of Americans surveyed in a recent Gallup poll not only approved of friends donating kidneys, they also thought donating to strangers was a perfectly acceptable practice. A similar study of over 10,000 physicians and non-physicians by Dr. Spital, a researcher at New York's Rochester General Hospital, confirms the Gallup data. Spital suggests transplant centers should rethink their standard of judgment of donors. He says, a sense of wanting to help someone prompts these noble-minded people to give.
Question number one. Which practice is approved of by most transplant physicians? Question number two. What causes most transplant doctors to insist on such a practice? Question number three. What do most Americans think of kidney donation? Question number four. What should some transplant centers do, as one researcher suggests? Question number five. What can you learn from the passage?
This is the end of Lesson 13.